Be advised, you are now entering a woke-free zone, a place where facts always trump fiction and truth always prevails. Here we destroy the liberals, the left, and the Democrats at home, online, and in political office. Whining, screaming, lashing out, or tantrums will not be tolerated. Welcome to the Last Gay Conservative Podcast. Here's your host, the beacon of truth, your binary brother, the holiest homo, the leader of the gay world. He may not be straight, but he's straight to the point. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Chad Law.
Yeah, hello everybody, and let's go Brandon. Welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. It's me, Chad Law, your binary brother, the holiest homo, the gayest conservative. Think you know all of them. I've been freed from the shackles of liberal stereotype and hate, and nothing gives me more joy than to bring you truth over our red, white, and blue rainbow airwaves every week, or sometimes more, or sometimes less. We've got a lot to cover today as I try to catch up from my sick leave. Today we're talking about two major happenings in the world of politics. First being the mob has begun launching vicious attacks on anyone who doesn't support the new trend of drag queen story time for children. Also, the DNC has come up with some creative ways to hold on to the few black and brown voters they have left and go after smaller groups like the LGBTQ plus underscore minus community. However, before we get into today's episode, I want to share a quick story with you all. You know, I am a freak magnet, if you don't know that. Always shenanigans happening around me, and it's always fun to share with you guys. So we're on our way home from Vegas the other day, which I thoroughly love the drive. Everyone makes fun of me for not flying, but I thoroughly love the drive. And I'm a big car guy. So, you know, depending on what we're doing or whatnot, oftentimes I'll take out something that I can let rip on I-15. But anyway, so we're on our way home from Vegas, which I thoroughly love, like I said. And unfortunately, the ability to let it rip these days is really limited now due to the congestion on 15. I honestly, after this last trip, I swear Vegas has become a suburb of Los Angeles. My assistant drove one car with a couple of other members of the team, and I was in my car. And at some point, we stop for gas around Barstow, and we pull up in the gas station right next to each other. And naturally, you know, I'm just walk over to put my credit card in for my assistant and the team's gas in their car. And then I would do mine after. Well, the credit card machine on their pump was all screwed up. It was not working. It was giving me a really hard time. And so I was like pressing buttons and focused and really, you know, focused my head down on the credit card machine. I finally got it to work. I looked up and there was actually a woman sitting in the driver's seat of my car. Yeah, like a crazy person. And it really did. It felt like slow motion. It took me a second to register. And I'm like, oh my God, she's trying to steal my car. And so I run over, and right when I get to the door, she starts driving forward. Thank God somehow she can't figure out how to shift the car into drive, but she got it into neutral somehow. So when it was going forward, it was just rolling. So of course I did what any proper gay man would do. And I grabbed her by her hair. It was the only thing I could get a good grip on. So there I am, the car's rolling through the gas station area, and I'm holding her hair, pulling her out of the window while it rolls in neutral. And while I grab her hair, she's trying to get the car in drive. It's the most insane picture you'd ever seen. Like an idiot, I left my gun in the car while I filled up. Huge lesson in why you should always keep your gun on your persons. And I generally always do. I don't know why. I left my bag with my carry weapon, and I just pulled out my credit card to pay at the pump. Not smart. So finally, she stops the car, totally messed out, and starts screaming at me, "You pulled my hair! You effed up my head!" Oh, I was able to wrestle her out of the car, I should say wrestle, and she went completely nuts. Somehow someone had already called the cops. When she started walking away, I followed behind her, and I was yelling at her too, because I just had so much adrenaline pumping. And the cops showed up, immediately handcuffed her, and I told them my side of the story, and we left. I was already late for a big dinner meeting that I had back in L.A. So the meth and speed problems are really real. I mean, the cops were telling me that most carjackings around that area, really in general, thefts, break-ins, are high on this meth and crack, these people. And they're just looking for anything they can sell to feed their addiction. It really is sad. However, she learned quickly that you don't mess with the last gay conservative. Remember this to anyone listening. If you try to steal my car, I will rip your weave out faster than you can say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. However, I told you guys, I'm a freaking magnet, total freak magnet. I don't know. It's ever since I was young. I don't know why freaks just find me. Maybe birds of a feather flock together. I'm not sure. I never thought of myself as a freak, but having second thoughts after that one. All right, enough about my attempted carjacking. I do want to share some exciting stuff to toot my own horn. Not sure if you all caught Tucker the other night when he exposed the Biden administration for selling our oil reserves to China and India. Again, I called it, like always, last gay conservative. You want to hear the right stuff first, you listen to me. My very first episode in mid-February, I pulled a report deep within energy.gov about how the barrels being pulled from our strategic oil reserves were being shipped to China and India. Remember this in mid-February? Here, have a listen.
His latest move to alleviate the gas prices for Americans was to release 50 million barrels from our supply, our reserve, oil reserve, according to energy.gov. And 32 million are available. Well, Chad, where's the other 18 million barrels? Oh, those got sold to China and India. So 36% of the little scrape of 50 million barrels he took from our reserves went to China and India. I mean, is this guy living the American dream or the Chinese nightmare? Is this because he owes him a favor for giving Hunter Biden all that money? I mean, I guess he's got to do what he's got to do to get that, you know, crack addiction fed.
All right, so now let's listen to what Tucker had to say Wednesday night.
In mid-June, the price of both regular unleaded and diesel, critically, hit all-time highs, well over $5 a gallon nationally. How could this be? It really was a mystery. It violated the most basic rules of economics. But now, thanks to a new report in Reuters, we know why. It turns out the oil being released isn't for us. It's going to India and China. According to Reuters, and we're quoting, more than 5 million barrels of oil that were part of a historic U.S. emergency reserve release to lower domestic fuel prices were exported to Europe and Asia last month. The piece continues, quote, cargoes of SPR crude, oil from our reserves, were also headed to the Netherlands and to a Reliance refinery in India, an industry source said. A third cargo, buckle your seatbelt, headed to China.
Yeah, I just love when this stuff happens, guys. As someone very new to the mix, it's always good to know what you're talking about is fresh and relevant. And I appreciate it so much. And I do toot my own horn because it's funny, but I also get that hit of reassurance that I need to keep going. I get that from you guys every day, but sometimes having an outside influence is important as well. Then, I'm not sure if you remember, but I recently did an episode called Will Women Abort the Midterms, where I laid out my concerns around the Roe v. Wade leak and how I think it'll impact our midterm elections. Well, a few days ago, New York Times recently published an article proving me right. The New York Times wrote publicly, after a draft of the likely decision leaked in May, former President Donald J. Trump was remarkably tight-lipped for weeks about the possible decision, which the court ultimately handed down on Friday, ending federal abortion protections. But privately, Mr. Trump has told people repeatedly that he believes it will be bad for Republicans. The decision, Mr. Trump has told friends and advisors, will anger suburban women, a group who helped tilt the 2020 presidential race to Joe Biden, and will lead to a backlash against Republicans in November midterm elections. So what did I have to say about the leak? Let's take a listen.
All year, they've been looking for their smoking gun, and they've all backfired. Florida Don't Say Gay was supported in huge numbers across the U.S. Trans issues are being rejected and deemed unfair. College debt forgiveness is either too low or too high for people, and people put inflation first. Americans are really getting sick and tired of the Ukraine conflict. Everything is backfiring. However, this Politico leak, Roe v. Wade, could be their smoking gun. And if it is, it seems to be working. Mark my words. The more forceful approach we take on the pro-life narrative, the more midterm votes we will lose.
Okay. That's so fun to hear. So I know the New York Times isn't the most reliable, but in this case, it does make sense. I've been saying this from the beginning, and I'm so in line with Trump in so many ways that I'm not surprised at all. Because if you know the real Trump, not the Trump the media portrays, not the Trump that's, you know, him having to showcase a certain level of confidence and personality for the TV cameras. But if you know him, Trump is not what you think. He's very, very misunderstood. I would go as far as to say that personally, he's probably more of like a libertarian. And he understands that there's issues out there that although they don't align with our huge white Christian conservative base, it can have an impact on different demographics that can then trickle into affecting our elections. So again, I don't think it will cause a total loss, but I do think these razor thin margins already are going to cut really, really close. All right, folks, enough about me, my favorite subject. I want to dive right into the topics for the day, starting with these attacks coming from the left on anyone who doesn't agree with the drag queen story time. First, this is not a one-off, people. This is not a San Francisco thing. These story times are all over the country and online. Just listen to this.
Oh, I'm also a drag performer. Named Facelift. So drag queen story time. It's just a wonderful time for me to be able to bring my love of working with kids with my performance.
And how's everyone doing? Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm so happy to be here today. Is anybody 3 years old here?
Austin, welcome. Straight from San Francisco, Black Benatar.
Good morning, everybody.
The Heights Library had a special guest for story time.
Oh my goodness. Everyone is dressed so nice. I wish I would have worn a nice costume for y'all.
And this is Drag Queen Story Hour. Give it up for yourself. Yeah. This is the land of all. And everyone fits in here. Do you see that? They're being nice to the bullies. What color is a frog?
Green.
Green. The reactions from the kids are hysterical. Does anyone know what a drag queen is? No? Do you know what a drag queen is? A drag queen is a character you create to express your feminine side or any other side of yourself that you'd like to explore.
The birth of these drag queen story hours or times is just another form of attack against people who have not bent over and taken the LGBTQ and trans bias being pushed onto our children. Since most Americans agree with the Florida Parents and Education Bill and hate this whole trans competition in sports, the community has to come out and say, well, if you're not going to support us here, we're going to do this and take the most extreme approach, which is this drag queen story time. Now, it has been happening for a couple years, but not at the level that we're seeing now. I mean, first of all, why would anyone of any age need or want to be read a story by a drag queen? They're performers. I mean, I've seen a fair share of drag shows and they're fun. I think once you see one, you see them all, but they're actors, they're performers, they dance, they lip sync. They're not storytellers. That's not the drag culture. And drag doesn't exist in society. It's an escape. It's a performance. It's like going to watch a play. But yeah, I mean, why does anyone have the need to be read by a drag queen? Second of all, what sort of parent would take their kids to these? Like, you know, I'm not a parent, but I am an uncle and I am the gay uncle to many friends' kids. Isn't the goal to try to keep your child in that kind of special childhood sweet spot where Santa's still real and the tooth fairy still comes? It's like that beautiful naivete with so much imagination, unclouded by adult and real life issues and responsibilities. You know, our children are already getting thrown out of childhood into adult stress and worry earlier and earlier. But why would any parents encourage that? Because we know if a kid goes to see drag queens reading in bars or at school, doesn't matter. If a kid goes to one of these things, what happens? Naturally, they ask questions. Their curiosity takes over. Obviously, they say, Mom, what is that? Is that a boy or a girl? Why do they do that? Why do they dress like that? And the conversation, that conversation immediately pushes the child into a maturity and adult level that they should find naturally, Not from Drag Queen Story Hour. Don't be fooled, guys. This isn't about inclusivity or early exposure. Drag queens are not something a child or anyone needs to feel included or a need to include them. It's a performance. They're actors. And quite frankly, you can go your entire life without seeing a drag show or even a drag queen and not miss anything. And it's not that big of a deal. Guys dressing like girls, lip syncing, getting tips. I mean, it's not this celebrity that it's been made out to be. And even if it is, it's your prerogative to do what you want. And it's absolutely unacceptable for them to be in public taxpayer funded libraries doing things that are questionably appropriate, which to me, they're extremely inappropriate. But on a public forum front, if there's any questions about inappropriate behavior in a public place, it shouldn't be there at all. Even one person complaining. But no, they do it on purpose. So, I mean, what about it is inclusive? What about having a man dressed up as a larger than life woman character reading to kids help their development? It just doesn't. This is just another way for the LGBTQ community to wreak havoc, forcing progressives to feel like they're not woke enough if they don't get involved and take their kids, and then forcing the rest of us who are not progressive, either middle or towards the right, parents to go on the defense, and a defense that is kind of ugly. We want to protect our kids, and the idea is not to be meeting aggression with aggression, but sometimes people only speak the language that they, sometimes people only understand the language that they speak. And in this case, it's aggressive progressiveness. Try to say that 10 times fast. You would think that anyone who doesn't want their child involved would be respected for having that right. Speaking out against something certainly is not illegal, but the mob doesn't care. Even though they created this entire issue with knowingly pushing these insane and pointless events, now they're going to make anyone who doesn't support them pay. Listen to this.
Hate occurred over the weekend, and hate occurred directed at children, their parents, and local performers. They were targeted by the Proud Boys.
The horrible irony of it was they said over and over, we're here to protect the kids. And it was the kids, they were terrified. The kids were afraid of them. And the kids were there with their parents who had brought them to this event.
Shocked, I was hurt. You know, when we think about the San Francisco Bay Area and Alameda County, we don't think of the Proud Boys. And my initial sort of concerns were that this hate has made its way here.
So yeah, it's getting worse. I think it's coming from the top. I think it's tied to the same group of people that tried to overthrow our Capitol. And I don't see it getting better anytime soon.
I've gotten threats. Our LGBTQ plus community has gotten threats. The library has gotten threats. We're here to say that's fine. You want to threaten us? We're going to come back. We're going to stand here proud, and we're going to represent all of our community.
So as crazy as that was, and believable as it is, the attacks have totally ramped up in both size and impact. The goal moved away from shaming to now damaging anyone in their way. Like we can expect from the left, they've taken a couple of incidents and now labeled anyone against them Proud Boys. Now, 3 weeks ago, there were a few alleged, supposed Proud Boy raids on Drag Queen Story Hours. No one's been able to confirm they're actually Proud Boys, and they have not come out and taken credit for them. So in the fairness of what we would say is innocent before proven guilty, I will say alleged, but it's looking more and more like it was Proud Boys. Anyways, these incidents are few and far between, as we all know. They don't represent the right. They don't represent the conservative movement. They don't represent regular parents in our community. Proud Boys are a rogue white power spinoff. That's all they are. They've been labeled a domestic terrorist organization. I don't know enough about them to give you my full opinion. All I will say is, in general, being a Proud Boy is not a good thing, and the way they allegedly raided these story times was totally inappropriate, regardless of what was happening. I mean, they totally, you know, made something way bigger. If the events that I'm hearing happened, they made a mountain out of a molehill. They went into it as if the children were actually getting abused, which it is psychological and emotional abuse, but it could be handled in a totally different way. It was extreme and totally wrong, and I don't support these alleged actions at all. And actually, the authorities are investigating these incidents as hate crimes, which is crazy. The funny part of that is we'll see if the hate crime provision of the law is actually applied if there's any prosecution, because, you know, these woke DAs don't want the hate crime provision at all. So, of course, here's what the media said.
After criticizing a city school program that includes drag queens.
Queens Councilwoman Vicky Palladino talking to the cop sent to guard her office after she received death threats following a series of tweets challenging a $200,000 program that sends drag queens into city schools to teach gender diversity. Palladino, who represents a conservative Northeast Queens district, says the program doesn't belong in city schools, where, she says, it's offered without parental knowledge and consent. The city council is reportedly considering whether to censure Palladino.
I personally find Councilmember Palladino's comments deeply problematic. Any behavior or statements stemming from hate or intolerance is completely repugnant.
Not one news organization did not cover this, and they all asserted in their respective articles that conservatives and the right wing is responsible for somehow related to the Proud Boys. What? So what has that done to the rest of us who believe this attack on kids is wrong? Well, you listen.
It's nothing against gays, nothing against lesbians, nothing against drag queens. That's their business as long as they keep it their business. I don't think that 3-year-old to 8-year-old kids need to be exposed to that adult information any more than if I were to go in and teach a sex education class to that same bunch of kids. It's just not age appropriate. That's my only problem.
JM, great to have you back on the NewsHour. Can you just help us understand what might seem like a disconnect for some people? Why is it that these far-right white supremacist groups would be targeting this particular community?
Thanks for having me. So a lot of these extremist groups that are very strongly identity-based and focused on sort of toxic masculine identities are very focused on gender, not as their primary interest, but as a secondary marker of identity. So you see this in far-right groups. You also see it in jihadist groups such as ISIS.
There are demons reading manifestos about diversity and inclusion to our kids. And it's happening all over the nation.
Alex Jones has been sending his reporter Millennial Millie, aka Rainbow Snatch, to go deep undercover to totally public drag queen events.
You cross the line when you start dragging children into the middle of it. This is obviously mature content.
Yeah, obviously, these events are still happening, and I found one in Denver, Colorado.
I'm gonna go undercover, and I'm gonna expose these satanic creatures.
My favorite is the last one, a Comedy Central satire, throwing anyone who disagrees with drag queen story time in with the same pot as Alex Jones and believes in demons, supposedly. I mean, don't get it twisted, folks. The demon talk is just hate speech against Christians, Jews, Muslims, any religion that believes in God or something larger than ourselves. Can someone explain to me how this is inclusivity? You should come here, enjoy, bring your kids. But if you question, exercise your right to protest, or show religious concerns, you're an Alex Jones conspiracy theorist who believes in demons. So ludicrous. And the thing is that it works. You know, the media, what will happen is, and it's already happened, they push this narrative over and repeatedly with the intention that if enough people hear the same story repeatedly, that to be against these programs, you're wrong. It's a form of brainwashing. And nobody wants to be a neo-Nazi, a Proud Boy, conspiracy theorist, or a demon-obsessed Christian. It will encourage you to let down your guard because only people like this disagree with Drag Queen Story Hour. It's that crazy psycho ex-boyfriend or girlfriend that makes you think you're the crazy one. This is just the mob's way of getting what they want. They are simply using the media and a couple bad apples to try to scare people into acceptance, because if they don't accept, they'll be labeled horrible things. Who would want their neighbor or in-laws or the kids' teachers thinking you're a neo-Nazi, Proud Boy, Alex Jones loving demon believer? The media has painted that picture. You can't find one, and I would challenge you to find one article or video that merely breaks down each side in argument without bias towards Drag Queen Story Hour. And no, you can't find it. It's all about the drag queens being sweet and loving and these other psychopaths, even people that are just praying, doing a prayer circle outside, are there for violence and hate crimes. The left never gives the respect and inclusivity they believe they deserve. Sadly, they have the media to spew it for them. I can't tell you how embarrassing it is to be part of the LGBTQ community right now. All of these shock and awe media stunts to make people feel bad is disgusting. The morality of our community is gone, even the last shred that we had. Next is the opposite way the left is trying to get people to do what they want, a more subtle, subliminal way, focusing on the black and brown communities. Why? Well, as it pertains to black and brown or the Latino population, they are jumping ship from the Democratic Party in droves. Just listen to this.
A year ago, exit polls showed Biden's approval rating among black voters at 87%. Now it's 63%. But ahead of the midterms, Biden and Democrats will need to convince voters like Farouk al-Sahid to turn out. Al-Sahid voted for the first time in 2020.
Democrats haven't done anything to improve my black quality of life in the state.
I mean, just in the 2020 election, even though we lost, Trump broke every historical record for black and Latino voters voting Republican. Even though our numbers are still relatively low compared to the Democrats, Democrats, unlike us, can't win an election without huge black and Latino majorities. Sadly for them, the recent 30% approval rating of Biden and the country's lack of overall trust in the president, blacks and Latinos have continued to jump ship. The president represents the party and the person that they voted for, and the more he lies and tries to fool the American people, the entire DNC loses credibility amongst their base. We know that the go-to liberal tactics are guilt and fear, making someone believe that if they change parties or support one piece of Republican legislation, they're letting down their entire community. The constant guilt trip, which, by the way, is why in my last episode I said liberal women are so homely looking. It's because they hold on to all this guilt, hate, fear, and they age so much faster. Whereas we take care of ourselves. We believe in, you know, being self-reliant and self-governance. So a lot of that weight we remove off of because we're responsible for what we carry and what we don't. For example, when the defund the police movement was at the forefront, one of the biggest topics of conversation was how to handle police presence in the neighborhoods. The younger progressive blacks took a very strong stance that there should be less or little to no police presence, rather more social services. But the older blacks in these impacted communities said, wait a minute, we need more cops. We already don't feel safe in our neighborhoods. It was an overwhelming majority. And in general, the people who were asking for more security and more police were the ones that were voters and taxpayers of that area. It wasn't 2 seconds until the media and the mob shut down these groups asking for more safety and more police. All of a sudden, they were nowhere to be found. They went so far as to discredit some of the more prominent members of the opposition and read their criminal records on TV, talk about their family problems, and air out dirty laundry. It does not get lower than that. I'm not sure about you, but this playing to the lowest common denominator has gotten so old, tiresome, and disheartening. I hate backhanded bull. I hate it. And so recently, what I've noticed is this trend of disclaimers or paragraphs within coverage and news stories that highlight black and brown communities. I noticed it a lot during the Roe v. Wade coverage. Almost every single article referenced that this decision would, quote, hurt black and brown communities the hardest. It was a pattern, some more specific and some more subliminal, but in every piece it referred to the negative impacts on the black and brown community. Just listen to this.
In your experience within the EPA, were you surprised to see this ruling from the high court? And do you think the agency even saw it coming?
I think that folks did see it possibly coming, but of course folks were hopeful that they would not make the decision that they did because of the impacts of that said decision.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about the communities that are most at risk here of feeling the effects of climate change, and how soon will this ruling impact them?
Well, the impacts will happen for everyone across our country, but in particular, we know that communities of color, African-American communities, Latin communities, indigenous brothers and sisters are the ones who are going to be hit first and worst
So Linda, tell us more about how the reversal of Roe will impact Black women, especially Black women in the American South. Black women are much more likely to die due to complications during pregnancy or giving birth than other women.
We know that Black and brown communities are more likely to be targeted and are more likely to suffer consequences, including being arrested, being detained, and even being killed.
How interesting, right? So, of course, I wanted to know if this was a Roe v. Wade issue or something found in many news pieces and many topics. And much to my dismay, there are hundreds of stories with these small blurbs in them, regardless of what the issue or the coverage is. Now, this is mentioned, this type of thing is mentioned in articles all the way to 7 years back. At least that's what I got into with my research, was more factual. The insertion of these paragraphs and sound bites in passing really started a few months into Biden's presidency. I mean, what a great way to combat the lack of trust, disapproval, and party switching. This is the disinformation I always talk about. Like Snopes, when they say something like, Kyle Rittenhouse didn't do this, but he may have done that, which is totally untrue. But what it does is it makes you think and it makes you wonder and it plants the seed in your head like, hey, wow, if I support the Republican Party who are pro overturning Roe v. Wade, I'm actually hurting Black and brown women or the Black and brown community. A factual piece of news that alludes to anything Republican or conservative is particularly bad for Blacks and Latinos. It's just a way to spread fear and guilt in a more subtle fashion. Why more subtle? Because people are tired of the BS, quote unquote, you're racist. Everyone can't be racist, you know, and it's working against their agenda because the Blacks and browns, at least the people in my community around me, they're so tired of it. You know, you don't use a word like that, a derogatory word like that, over and over and over again without it losing its meaning, its power. So racist has become the like of the liberal vocabulary. So because they're so tired of it, it's not working in these communities. And they're waking up and realize that they're not racist. Or a lot of them are saying, I don't care if they're racist. I just want to trust my president and be able to fill up my tank. You know things are bad when you overlook racism for other policies in government when you've been a Democrat your whole life. I pulled some examples from the three recent Supreme Court rulings. This is very interesting. So Washington Square News, in response to the gun law ruling, says, on one hand, being a woman in the city brings many dangers. On the other, being a brown person makes people believe and see you as a potential terrorist. Black and brown gun owners will be more endangered. Law enforcement is more likely to unjustly incriminate Black and brown New Yorkers for legally exercising their Second Amendment rights. Huh? So what they're saying is because the Supreme Court has said the Second Amendment is absolute and there's nothing in there that says you can't carry a weapon outside of the home. And no, you can't force people to do this, this, and this. For some reason, that's going to be bad for Black and brown gun owners because supposedly law enforcement is going to unjustly incriminate Black and brown New Yorkers. Huh? I mean, where's the tie to racism in the state of New York versus the NRA or whatever? Where? I can't find anywhere where race is involved in any of this. Yet the media is telling people that it's bad for Blacks and browns when really it has nothing to do with that at all. I mean, read this on Roe v. Wade in the Texas Tribune. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to experience pregnancy-related death than white women, and the risk spans income and education levels. Black women are also more likely than any other racial group to experience maternal health complications throughout the course of their pregnancies. Why? How? What makes this? They listed a couple things. Obesity, diabetes. Those aren't Black issues. They're American issues. They're a big problem. It's just plain insane. They have an article that talks about the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and they put this crap in there to make people think that anything done, literally anything at this point, Democratic, not, I mean, I think Build Back Better or the infrastructure bill will still, you know, still has blurbs all over it saying how it's racist, right? Now, the craziest one that I read has to do with the new EPA ruling. That the Environmental Protection Agency cannot overreach into the states without congressional approval. Well, BET had an article on this, and it says Quote, a decision that sets back the Environmental Protection Agency will have a domino effect on Black people nationwide. You tell me how crazy this is, okay? To think that limiting their ability to come in and force states to do certain things that have a negative impact on their economy under the guise of saving us from climate change is bad for Black people. I mean, when do these people stop? When does the left stop? I mean, this is the maximum form of exploitation. Anyways, it says, a decision that sets back the Environmental Protection Agency will have a domino effect on Black people nationwide. The risk of older Black folks dying from air pollution is triple in comparison to white people. Black people pollute the least, but our communities suffer the most from air pollution that contributes to multiple types of cancer, including lung and breast cancer. The ruling will have a domino effect that reduces water and food quality. And as pollution exacerbates the climate crisis that leads to more catastrophic weather events, it will change Black history and narratives that share the truth around Black American identities. So, federal overreach from these agencies that are not being managed by our representative government, a block on that that doesn't say they can't exist, doesn't say they can't do what they're going to do. But what it says is you can't create policy and then apply it federally without the approval of Congress. I mean, this is Constitution 101. So by the Supreme Court doing that, they're intentionally going after Black people that are going to die. Black people pollute the least, but their communities suffer the most from pollution. And this ruling from the Supreme Court is going to give them cancer. Tell me how this isn't fear-mongering. Tell me how in an article about the EPA ruling, having a couple paragraphs like this doesn't shake you to your core. And of course, who's reading BET? The Black community. You know, and so it scares them. And it would scare me, and it makes them think that, hey, oh, this EPA thing that might have been probably a really good thing in some of these communities, especially if they work in any energy sector like coal or fossil fuels, et cetera, think that the Supreme Court and that the conservatives that wanted this to happen is going to cause them cancer, lung and breast cancer. I mean, it just never ceases to amaze me. And those are just blurbs within news pieces on the three Supreme Court rulings that we had last week. I mean, this is an extreme focus for Democrats because these razor thin margins are not going their way. I mean, just listen to this. In 2020 alone, white men and white women mainly voted the same, and the majority of them are Republican. However, with Black men, we picked up 6 points. Black women, 5 points. The Hispanic vote, largely the same, with Hispanic men adding 4 points to our side and Hispanic women adding 5 points. Lastly, Asian and what they call quote unquote other, that's not racist, moved 7 points in our direction. So all in all, minority votes are moving in our direction in a way that makes them very uncomfortable. On the surface, you may think, oh, big deal. 5, 4, 6 points. That's nothing. And in totality, you're right. In the Obama days, that would be nothing. But right now, elections have never been tighter. And these little jumps actually do help. Also, remember, our white base of men and women is stable and disproportionately Republican. If we saw a large turnout with just our base and did not gain any of these other ethnic groups, we would still win. However, the DNC, who has largely lost Christians and Catholics over the year, need the Latino and Black voters to win. Without those numbers in totality, they're dead in the water. I don't think they're going to lose their majority in those two communities, but even losing 5 points could make or break an election for them, especially in areas that have stayed predominantly Black and brown and voted predominantly Democrat that they rely on in the electorate. This backhanded tie to anything news related and connection between a law or program or regulation, event, or whatever it is, and the negative impact it has on Black and brown communities is ridiculous. All they're doing is exploiting the Black and brown communities. And it's actually sad, disheartening, and really angers me because you don't do this to people. You don't make people fear some very, very extreme things like cancer in order to keep them voting for you. That is just dirty, dirty politics to the lowest common denominator. And that's just one of their three major strategies for upcoming midterms and the presidential campaign in 2024. That is the subtle fear tactics in the news purported by their media besties. The other two not so subtle voter drive strategies of theirs are the border to get as many Latinos in the country, grant them asylum, or a sweeping amnesty program that will surely lock them in as Democrats for life. I mean, imagine hundreds and thousands of new potential voters at the expense of our safety and economy. And then the other thing that they're really gunning for is the intentional manipulation of voting laws, not necessarily the voting laws themselves that they're trying to write, more so claiming that election and voting reform laws are racist. Again, all about race. Biden positioning himself as a hero will lock it up for the DNC if they can have people that they've saved. Remember, liberal lifeguarding. So he has an amnesty plan he's been talking about from the beginning. He's just not talking about it right now. But there's a seriously scary amnesty plan in place. And if Democrats stay in power, it's going to happen within the next 5 to 8 years. He started talking about it shortly after he got into office, but it was quickly swept under the rug. The Progressive Caucus is in full force for amnesty. Here's his plan broken down.
It's called the U.S. Immigration Act of 2021. If passed, it would be the most sweeping immigration reform since 1986.
For those living in the U.S. without legal status as of January 1st, they would be allowed 5 years of temporary status and the opportunity to earn a green card upon meeting requirements like paying taxes and passing a background check. Eligibility to apply for citizenship would follow 3 years later. Risk Committee says while he welcomes the plan, he sees room for improvement. For starters, he thinks 8 years is too long to wait for citizenship. He also wants changes made to our asylum program, saying while the bill focuses on those already here, what about others who were turned away?
Thank God the bill hasn't been passed. It was quickly rushed into committee because the border is such a bad topic for Biden. But as you can see, day one, he opens the floodgates and shortly after introduces a bill for amnesty. I think my 4-year-old niece could put two and two together there. The most telling part of all this, guys, is that there's no date of entry requirement for qualification for amnesty. In other words, whether or not you jumped the border last week or 20 years ago, you can still qualify. I mean, folks, are these not the shadiest political activities you've ever seen? I mean, doesn't it just like give you heartburn? Biden is so freaking selfish and so centered on what he can get done and what praise he can receive that he is making decisions based on political growth and his own personal belief is instead of what's best for the country. I mean, that's why we're in the state that we're in today. When you govern from personal belief and opinion and come from the belief that you are smarter, know more, and understand what's best for people, you end up with a pile of crap legislation and orders that hurt everyone. I mean, that's one thing that I admired about Trump. He didn't care if something was popular or not, if it was good for America. You know, he had every opportunity to use the presidential office to make millions for the Trump Organization, pay to play, etc. And Biden, on the other hand, has made and is still making millions personally for him and his family and making decisions hoping it will be popular and best for him, not for America. I mean, you figure college debt, trying to get young people to think he's a hero. Borders, opening them up, trying to get all the immigrants thinking he's a hero. Paying higher wages and minimum wage, thinking people are going to think he's a hero. Everything he does is to bolster his own self-image and his delusional thought that he is a hero or he's saving America. I mean, if you don't believe me, folks, look around. I mean, it's right in front of you. The other more obvious way the Democrats are trying to hold on to black and brown voters is voting laws. And no, not the insane reform and no ID requirements and all that crap that they're trying to get us to accept. That'll just benefit them with all groups. What they've done is create an entire campaign claiming that Republican voter laws are targeting their communities and their right to vote. I mean, just listen to this.
So why even bother having voter ID laws at all?
Good old-fashioned voter suppression with a dash of racism and classism for good measure.
Requiring voters to have ID seems like a harmless precaution until you realize the majority of people lacking ID are either elderly, poor, and aren't white. And frequently, they're all three. Statistically, African American and Latinx voters are much less likely than white voters to have the qualifying IDs required by states with voter ID laws. They're also disproportionately likely to be low income.
So what are these racist laws Republicans are trying to put through? ID requirements, limits on mail-in ballots, limits on those big drop boxes, which we already saw are totally open targets for fraud, limits on mail-in voting timelines and consistent machines throughout the counties and the states. Tell me, how is this racist? I mean, in their minds, actually in their words, blacks and browns cannot get ID based on their finances or travel limitations. Huh? They can't get an ID? I don't understand this. Blacks and browns must have mail-in ballots or drop-off boxes because they can't travel to the polls. So in the mind of Democrats, blacks and browns can't get ID. They don't have the means to travel, yet we're the racist ones. And what's crazy is in 2020, roughly 70% of the black population voted, and more so in the states that have more restrictive laws, like Georgia. I don't want to get too deep into the laws and policies themselves of this voter reform, but I just wanted to highlight that as another example of the less desperate attempt to manipulate voters for 2022 and 2024. These minority groups are getting hit from all angles, and that's because they desperately depend on them to win elections. That's when things get crazy. And that's when we see this aggressive name calling and really mean, underhanded behavior. I mean, like I said, first, every news piece they read about politics, Washington, D.C., governing, whatever it is, have subliminal messages woven in about how everything will hurt blacks and browns the most. And they're just subtly trying to scare these voters into staying with them and never looking at the other side again. Everything those racist white supremacist Republicans is geared towards hurting blacks and browns. All they want to do is hurt you. Jim Crow. Second, the Biden administration is purposely allowing droves of illegal immigrants, supposedly seeking asylum, I don't buy it, into the country with no regulation or pushback. Meanwhile, him and his friends in the Progressive Caucus and the Committee on Immigration bake up a sweet amnesty plan they need to put forward fast. One of the early drafts I saw even wanted to give amnesty to people who had previously been turned away at the border. Like, no, come back and we'll give you amnesty. So we're handing out U.S. passports right as people cross with a stamp. And don't forget the $300,000 Biden payout for families who chose to come here, knew there was a large possibility they would get separated as a family, yet somehow they're victims and deserve a payoff. Think about what sort of support a payoff of that size would shore up for the DNC. Folks, this is the liberal mob's way of signaling to us they're coming and they will do anything, including hurt you, your family, and anyone in between. They're getting more aggressive every day with the power they have in Washington and over these progressive states and cities. On top of that, they have twisted common sense voter laws, things that have been put into place to avoid issues like we saw before in 2020. And they're spreading the false story that the laws are anti-black, anti-brown, or Latino and racist. They're calling the laws a flashback to Jim Crow. It's sickening. The crazy part about all of this, like we just talked about, is that they're still losing votes. There is a serious leak in the DNC bucket, and as hard as they try to fill it up with new demographics they need to replace the leak with, like the LGBTQ community and illegal immigrants, they still have a steady leak. They need bubblegum to close that leak. Unfortunately, all the bubblegum they're using is sugar-free, tastes like crap, and disintegrates over time, and voters continue to jump out the hole. I mean, as much as I love to bask in the glory of the strides we've made as a Republican Party just since Biden's election, more so even our conservative movement, it's still frightening. I mean, these liberals will do anything to stop our progress. They're not above violence. They're not above freezing bank accounts like we saw in Canada with Trudeau. They will use the National Guard, the FBI, whatever it takes. They will blackmail you. They will shut you down. They will cancel you. They don't care as long as they win and remain in power. I mean, just speaking of violence and crime alone, the last piece of this voter puzzle I want to quickly mention, and this is something that I've talked about. I don't think it's a mainstream adopted opinion. I think it will be, but this is something that I've been talking about for a long time. One of the things the DNC has focused on is they've been on a let felons vote kick for many years. And again, they have to collect all these little groups in order to stay afloat. Well, sadly for them, they've never been able to make any progress on the felon front. I think a huge majority of Americans would disagree with allowing felons to vote, giving them some of their civil rights back, because that's a huge part of the punishment of committing a felony. But do you happen to notice anything suspicious happening right now? Sentences being lowered, records being expunged, felons being released on no bail. Minimum sentences are being pushed over maximum or even recommended sentencing. This wave of crime we're seeing directly ties to the DNC voter drive. Hopefully, you're starting to see the picture. Who will felons and almost felons vote for if they've been freed or prosecuted for a misdemeanor instead of a felony by a Democrat? Exactly. Mark my words, the number of criminal voters will increase significantly in 2024. I think 2022 may be a little too soon for this newer DA stuff to take effect, but it's going to happen. I'm calling it right here and right now, folks. Hopefully when it hits, I'll be on Tucker sharing it. Share the show. Tell everyone about me. Help get me on Tucker, guys. Come on. Anyhow, allow me to leave you with this. We have a knife, the left has a guns. We have a conscience, the left feels no guilt. We believe that people should be self-reliant. The left believes they know best and want us all dependent on them. We believe in the Constitution. The left wants it abolished. We are in the fight of our lives, and I want to share my words of wisdom. If you're hungry, eat. If you're tired, sleep. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you that you have to go have a skinny margarita and then keep fighting. That's not how it works. You don't have to literally fight, whether that be online or your community or within your family. I see people all the time that talk to me and they're always so rattled about these, you know, arguments they're having with liberals on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, if you want to fight and try to have that discussion, go for it. If you don't mind the insanity, go for it. However, you don't have to do that for us to continue moving forward with our movement. This war in particular is not about actually fighting. This war is about exuding maximum confidence. Why do you think the left hated and hates Trump so much? He refused to cower to their progressive ideals or even meet in the middle, as one of my favorite people, inspirer, author, whatever you want to call him, Chris Voss says. Trump never split the difference. Chris Voss's book is called Never Split the Difference. He's a negotiator for the FBI. Highly, highly recommend it. Republican or Democrat, the progressive, woke, globalist agenda was always able to be pushed forward through backdoor means until Trump. I don't think we really knew the extent of this until Trump showed up. Regardless of what you think of him, and regardless if he runs again, wins or loses, Trump did all of us one incredible service we can never forget. He exposed a level of corruption, fraud, and anti-American agendas on both sides in Washington. Things the political elite in this country have hidden for years. We now know the truth thanks to Donald Trump. That's why you're seeing these aggressive, hateful, and downright scary efforts from the left. They don't work well when the light is on them, and they've been exposed beyond our wildest dreams. Just knowing that should give all of you the confidence you need to own the room and own the conversation. Remember, we're part of this community together, and there's way more of us than there are of them, regardless of what it seems like on the surface. The more we can come together and exude confidence, the more the left will be afraid. But if we don't show fear, they'll have no reason to continue their scary behavior. Well, that's all for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'm wishing you a wonderful day, week, and month. You just listened to The Last Gay Conservative. I'm Chad Law, reminding you of what Reagan once said. Surround yourself with the best people you can find, delegate authority, and don't interfere. God bless you, President Reagan, and may God save America.
You just listened to The Last Gay Conservative Podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. We proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.